Welcome once again to the Earth Mystery Show. I'm Haynes Ely. It's the 15th of February, my daughter Rebecca's birthday. And it's also a beautiful, beautiful day in downtown Nevada City. And I've got Beth Green on the phone. We're going to have some fun talking about an upcoming seminar she's doing here in town. But before we start, I'd like to thank Sierra Solar Systems and Hummingbird Venison for helping keep KVMR on the air. Sierra Solar Systems, serving the foothills and the environment for 29 years, offering PG&E and remote system design and installation. Their solar-powered showroom and warehouse is at the Alternative Building Center at 563 Idaho Maryland Road in Grass Valley, 530-273-6754 or sierrasolar.com. Thanks also to Hummingbird Medicine, where Valerie Lowe provides therapeutic massage, peer counseling, sound healing, and workshops at 419 Spring Street in Nevada City. 530-265-2042. Online at hummingbirdmedicine.com. Gift certificates are available. Hummingbird Medicine, sound mind, sound body. Sounds good to me. Beth, are you there?
I certainly am.
Okay, well, we were wondering about the volume of your voice. After I hear you a little bit, I'll tell you if you're okay.
Great, thank you.
There is some squeaky echo on the line. I don't know if that's a radio in your room or a computer in your room or something.
Squeaky echo?
There's some kind of echo, but that's all right. We'll work with it for a while.
Hey, great. No, the radio isn't on, and maybe you're hearing the echoes of my mind.
That's it.
That must be it.
That must be it. There's nothing in here either. We're just bouncing around. You know, right. I didn't tell you because we don't know each other, but this is the show that helps people pull the wool over their own eyes. So anything that we say today, we can say with great freedom because people understand there's no seriousness about the Earth Mystery Show and there's no seriousness about me. And so, you know, it opens people's minds up to let things flow in if they don't think that they have to judge it.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. So you're going to be here in town.
I am. I'm going to be there on Saturday afternoon at the home of Barbara Miller. And maybe we can give the phone number now, but I'd also like to give it at the end.
So. I'm going to write it down, and we're going to give it again and again because people drive around without a pen or a paper in their car, and they think, oh, it sounds like a fun thing to do.
Right.
And if they call the radio station today, there's nobody here. It's a President's Day holiday. So
right.
If they call, say, who was that guest, there's no one to answer the phone. So give me the number.
It's
530-274-2190.
And I'm going to be giving a free talk. It's going to be from 1 to 4 at Barbara's house. And if you give her a call, she'll send you a flyer with a map and all that good stuff.
1 to 4 on Saturday, February 20th.
That is right. And I'm going to be offering something that I call a free talk and transformational opportunity because it's going to be more than just me lecturing.
Uh-huh.
And on ego, instinct, and evolution.
Well, that sounds heavy.
It is heavy. I know. I'm really so sorry. You said we're well, but, you know, you can have fun and be heavy at the same time. I do.
Well, I weigh 390 pounds, and I'm 5'1", so.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
I know. It's, it's weak.
Well, yeah, right. Well, I don't weigh. I weigh 105 pounds, but I can really get in your face.
So, you do a bunch of stuff, and since we don't know each other, I can't really comment on all the stuff you do. So yeah. I'm going to ask you to comment on the stuff you do. You have a website. Tell me the website for the listeners.
Okay. It's The Stream, www.thestream, T-H-E-S-T-R-E-A-M, as in the river or the lake.
Okay, thestream.org.
.org. And that's the website of my nonprofit organization, which is our spiritual community. And if you look at the menu on the top, you'll see a button for our founder, Beth Green, and that is me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that will take you to something that links to all of the other things that I do. I know it's hard to take it all in, and I don't know how I do it either.
And so your job is to blank, fill in the blank.
Okay, my job on the planet?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, what a great question. Well, the first and foremost, my job is to help people. And it makes me want to cry, you know, to really what you asked me then. And I'm just telling you the truth. It's my job is to help people. That's why I came.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of unusual gifts. I'm highly intuitive. When I work with people, I can feel their feelings. I know what they're thinking. I can see things into their past and, you know, to help them to heal. And as a result of that, I have the ability to really confront people with the truth about how they really feel about themselves,
mm-hmm.
and what they're really doing. And in allowing that to come to the surface, it can begin to be seen and to be accepted and to be healed. I also have energetic gifts, powers that speed up the transformational process that I also can't take any credit for. You know, these are gifts. They're just, they came to me when I, you know, from the source. And also, I've been gifted with the ability to translate, that's what I said, the ability to translate spiritual energy into language, into teachings. I've written a lot of books, really delving into the human psyche and developed a lot of programs, techniques, tools to help us to change. It's not enough for us to just look at ourselves and say, oh my God, I'm a mess, or alternatively to pretend that we're okay, which is even worse. Well, I don't know really which is worse. But we need help. We need tools to help us transform from who we've been caught in being and who we could be. So my job is to bring all of that, all that I have, to anyone who wants it. And I do that as a counselor. I do it as a consultant. I do it through music. I compose music and I perform it, and I will be giving music away at Barbara's house, music that helps people to either relax or go into other dimensions. I can take whole groups of people and move them into an altered state of consciousness for the purpose of transformation and healing. And my books are very, very clear, and they're used as workbooks. They've been the spiritual teachings are the foundation of our community, but more than that, they're being taken out into the world to help us to really become who we really are.
Well, that was good. So now that we mentioned books, your website is thestream, all one word, .org.
Yes.
Now tell me the names of the books.
Okay, my the book that I will actually be taking with me is called Living with Reality, Bringing Higher Consciousness into Everyday Life. And that book is very packed. It's about 400 pages, and it's packed with teachings, processes, techniques, questions, exercises. It's like a workbook, and people use it as the basis of study so that they can work together. And the book covers a tremendous amount of material from what is the human condition, how are we now, why are we that way. In fact, Ego, Instinct, and Evolution is in that book, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later if it feels right. And it really talks about our state of consciousness, how we are really dominated by our feelings, and that we don't deal with reality at all. You know, my book is called Living with Reality, and nobody really wants to be in reality. We're very busy trying to change our feeling state, and that's half of our battle right there. And then the book, after talking about all of that and how it connects to our addictive behaviors of body, mind, and spirit, whether it's emotional or mental addictions or it's physical addictions, then I get into the 9 platforms for becoming ourselves, which is the program of transformation, where we start with becoming oneness and end with becoming. And these teachings, they all came to me. I can't take credit for any of this. You know, it came to me and through me. And for instance, in becoming oneness, it's very concrete. It shows you how to start living from that paradigm rather than just having the idea. You know, we all say, oh, yeah, we're all one, you know, and then we go about and we bite each other's heads off. And how do we actually transform ourselves so that we can experience that and live from that paradigm? And I do deal with that in the book and move to becoming differentiated, co-creative, mutually supportive, and so on. So that's what that book is about. I have a book called The Autobiography of Mary Magdalene, which also just came through me. It was a tremendously emotional experience because I just, one day I woke up and I heard this voice that said, you're going to write the autobiography of Mary Magdalene. And I said, well, I haven't read the New Testament, and I call it God. God said to me, well, that's why you're going to write the book. So I just did. And it's a very powerful little book. It's fiction or not fiction. Who knows what it is. About Mary Magdalene and about her spiritual journey, and it gives a different take on the crucifixion. But the most important thing is it brings us into an awareness of how we're carrying the shame and how we need to release ourselves in the earth from the shame of who we are. And then another book of mine is called God's Little Aphorisms, and that's also kind of a cute book. It's short. It's not 500 pages. It's 52 aphorism zingers that I got from the source and an explanation. I'll give you an example of an aphorism, for instance. It was I had an experience where I was running a group, and somebody in the group had an insight into one of the clients, and I sat there and thought, Jesus, Beth, why didn't you think of that, right? You know, I'm the leader. I'm supposed to know everything. And I heard this voice come to me as clear as day, and it was, Beth, if I had meant you to know everything, I wouldn't have had to create other people, would I? So that is one of those God's little aphorisms, and there's a little book that's full of these little bits of wisdom that I could never have thought of myself. And finally, there's a book called, and all these books are available through Amazon or any, except for Living with Reality, which is only available through us. And it's online free. You can read it free online. And that's Sacred Union, The Healing of God. And it confronts the whole idea that God is perfect and that we're shameful. And it turns the whole thing on its head and says that we are the God that created ourselves and that we are a manifestation of God's consciousness. And it's a way also of getting past shame, getting past the ego-based universe, and really understanding ourselves from a place of oneness.
Well, I like that one the best already.
All right. Well, do read it.
I will.
If you want, I'll bring you a copy.
Oh, I love it.
Come to my talk, I'll bring you a copy.
I love it. The whole concept of shame to me is so foreign, and that seems to me to be a fundamentalist Christian concept. I don't know about other religions, but the idea that man is sinful or that we should have anything to be ashamed of is absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, but we have a lot to be accountable for.
Only our own actions.
Exactly.
I'm not accountable for anybody else, I hope.
No, but we are accountable for co-creating the culture that enables people to act out, and we are accountable for our own behavior. There's no question about it. But what I learned is that it's not our fault that we are the way we are, but it is our responsibility. So it eliminates.
Well, when you use words like fault or shame, or some of the words I've heard you say, it implies to me that there's something wrong, that we have some fault, so we have something to be ashamed of. And what if we don't? What if everything's just absolutely perfect the way it is? If we've created it just so, exactly the way it is the way it's supposed to be. We've done a magnificent job.
We can say that it's, you know, you tell that to the kid whose dad is sticking a cigarette into his arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, I don't go there. I say that we should get rid of shame because we are designed. In fact, my life's work has been to understand why we do destructive and self-destructive things.
But,
and to have compassion for ourselves, understand the process that you know, co-created us. Help us to get past the shame so we can take on the responsibility and find ways to transform.
I always play the devil's advocate on this
oh,
show.
Oh, are you? Is that this the game you're playing? You know what I'm saying, don't you?
Yes, I always do this, though. I always say,
okay.
I always say, you know, we have an opinion that something's shameful or wrong, or, you know, and you mentioned the dad that put the cigarette on the little boy's arm. What if we judge, and judgment, see, that's a word I don't like. What if we judge someone wrong for suicide bombing? And what if the culture that person comes from applauds them and says, yippee, you're going straight to heaven with 72 virgins waiting for you?
Well, that's a very good point.
Yeah, everything that we decree is wrong, somebody on the other side, there always has to be the other side of the coin that decrees it is good in some way.
Well, but I think that shows us how screwed up we are. That there are so many things that we justify. You know, there was a time that we justified slavery. The fact that the culture justifies behavior doesn't make it okay. For instance, when I was becoming a young woman, and I won't give away my age, but I'm going to be 65 very shortly.
It was a very good year.
What is it?
It was a very good year.
It was a vintage year. You were around the same age?
1945.
Oh, my God. See, there we are. I knew we had something in common. So, okay, so here we have, when I was coming of age, there were all these billboards with these gorgeous, sexy-looking women with a cigarette and a drink. And I said, oh, my God, I want to be that, right? So I had to force myself to smoke and to drink, which made me terribly ill, both of them. But that was the predominant culture, and I'm sure that, you know, you remember those days.
I remember parties when I was a kid, and my mother and all her friends had a cigarette and a martini, and then the next day there would be ashtrays full of cigarettes.
That's right.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. Well, you see, you just said it. It was terrible. And yet it was the culture of the time. Today, and when I first, I quit drinking like 30 years ago, and when I started to confront people on their health, for instance, I'm guided by the source. I hear, you know, the inner voice, mm-hmm. which I call God, the source, higher consciousness. I really don't care what word you use. It doesn't make any difference to me. So I like God because it's three letters, you know. But I got very clear direction and guidance about what to eat. And at that time, I was told no sugar. I personally had to cut out dairy. No salt, no this, no that, no the other thing. And I went on these, you know, on a food plan, and I try to talk to people about the impact that sugar had, especially on their children, what they were, that they were killing their children. But see, the prevailing culture said that it was okay. And I know that the people who support you, the people in Nevada City and Grass Valley, there's a lot of people who have very high consciousness about food and the impact that it has. But look at what it's taken for those of us to learn that and to start to create a movement that will impact the consciousness of everybody. And that's what I'm about on some level, is my job is to go out there, find my relations, and to support everybody to become powerful enough to go out there and confront the prevailing culture that says that being destructive or self-destructive on a physical level or on an emotional or spiritual level is okay. Because it isn't, because it's blocking our evolution and our potential.
When you mentioned coming to a dietary consciousness, I joke with guests. I say, if you want to really get the phone lines ringing in the station, mention something to eat or diet, and every single person that listens has a very strong opinion about what you should eat,
yes.
About diet. And I love to quote the Gospel of Thomas when Jesus' disciples asked him, Master, what should we eat? He answered, it's not what you put in your mouth that has any effect. It's what comes out of your mouth.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is so great. Because, you know, what you're talking about, but of course they are the same. Because it's all about vibrational energy and our accountability for the vibrational energies that we're putting into our body and the vibrational energies that come out of us that are impacting everybody else because of the oneness, because we are really one.
Well, I like to believe that, but when you say we are all one, then coming back to the devil's advocate, how can anybody do anything that harms anybody else if we're all one, without harming themselves?
Yeah. One of my first spiritual principles in becoming oneness is that anything I do to you, I'm doing to myself.
That's what I was just saying. How can you do anything harmful unless you're doing it to yourself?
So we are. We're harming ourselves, and that is the point, isn't it?
Well, the point is if you know that and you feel it, it's very hard to do something harmful.
Yes.
And so how do you, the people that are listening to this show that haven't already changed the channel or turned the dial, I think they're probably in agreement with us. They're going, yeah, you tell them. And the folks that need to hear that or need to understand that, they're not listening to shows like this. So how do you reach out to them?
Well, I have a column, as a matter of fact, on something called San Diego News Network, which
cool.
is a mainstream online. You know, it's big and growing. And for some reason, the editor loves my columns, and he prints everything I write.
I bet he would. How do we get hold of that one?
Okay, it's sdnn.com. In fact, I have, and if you look at the website and you go to the Our Founders page, I think there's a link to some of the columns that I've written. I've written things that I wrote three emails from Jesus for December about bringing a much higher consciousness and a level of consciousness in to the whole conversation. They printed them. I've written a column on life as a transformational moment that they printed. I just now, a few days ago, they put up a column of mine about revolutionizing relationships, a Valentine's gift to ourselves, about getting out of what I call horizontal relationships and getting into vertical ones, where we look to each other to meet each other's needs and why we do that and how that means that we're not really trying to connect to each other. We're not really relating, but kind of calculating, what is this person going to do for me? Even if it's just, how are they going to make me feel good about myself, rather than true relationship. They printed that.
Wow, that's called vertical relationships?
Vertical relationship is when you connect to yourself and the source first, and you feel, and you go to the oneness that you, how can I explain this?
It sounds like it might lead to dancing.
It could! It could lead to more than that. Okay, all relationships need to be vertical, meaning we start with a relationship to ourselves and the source, and from that place we can connect to one another. And that is, on one level, we're connecting through the oneness, because as you were saying, you know, we are one, and so we're really connecting to another aspect of ourselves. But also it means, in a very concrete way, that we're not looking to one another to meet our needs or make us feel a certain way or to be a certain way, and because we know that our needs are going to be met through the universe and not through that person. So all of a sudden we're free to actually listen to one another, to relate to one another, to have compassion for one another. Do you see what I mean?
What about the hormones in that interview?
Hey, hormones are fine. But hormones need to be integrated. I did a series of workshops on sex and spirituality. And in fact, it's become an ongoing program. I think we're up to the 11th level of workshops. And there's a mutual support group. Everything that I do, as whenever possible, I help to create a mutual support group that follows up so that people can actually support each other and work with it. And that's how this can grow. It's not, you know, I'm only one person. So there's, and these workshops have literally changed people's lives, because what we did was we took sexuality, and I'm not saying that I originated this idea, but there were some original techniques that came out of it, but that doesn't even matter anyway. We started by connecting to ourselves and the source and feeling our sexuality towards the source, our longing for a sexual connection to the universe. And when we did that and we started to integrate the energies that come down through the crown and come through our bodies, we become filled and empowered. And then couples would start to learn how to send energy to one another. And we created sacred circles in order to do that. And sometimes it led to sex in the traditional sense, and sometimes it didn't. But even when it did, we call it sacred union. When it led to sacred union, it was two whole people in connection to the source having a sexual experience with one another. And I've also done these workshops with single people. I'm one of them. And because we can have that kind of sacred sexual spiritual experience with the universe, and that doesn't mean that we go out and screw everybody we see, because that only comes when our sexuality is so distorted because it's not related to us. It's not integrated into who we are.
I thought that only happened when you graduated from law school.
Did you ever go to law school?
I'm joking.
Oh, I was hoping that this was a biographical moment and that we were going to go into a deep counseling session.
I went to medical school.
Medical school, that's right. You're a dermatologist.
Right.
I noticed you didn't say after medical school, which is what I expected you to say.
Well, lawyers are famous for screwing everybody, not doctors.
I am not going to, you know, that is so juicy, but I'm going to restrain myself.
Thank you. I've got to remind our listeners, I'm Haynes Ely. My guest today is Beth Green, and this is KVMR 89.5 FM, Nevada City, the Earth Mystery Show. And Beth is going to be here in town. She's going to be giving a free seminar on Saturday, February 20th, from 1 to 4 at Barbara Miller's house. And you can find out how to get there by calling 530-274-2190, 274-2190. I'll repeat that later in the show. And if you want to read those articles that Beth was talking about, they're on her website, and her website's thestream.org, all one word, thestream.org, and somewhere up at the top there's an fdnn.com website that you can link to read those editorials that you wrote. Have I got all that right?
Did you say SD or FD? San Diego News Network.
San Diego News Network.
You go to the, when you get to the website, you look at the top menu, it says our founder, Beth Green. You click on that and you get to more information than you ever want to know about me. It'll link you to my music. It'll link you to my books. It'll link you to my articles. It'll link you to you.
Me?
You. Yes, you're going up there. As today, Beth Green is going to be on your show.
Okay. Well, people want to hear the show. There's nobody here at the station because of the holiday.
Yeah.
And our web guy is on vacation, so it may be a week or more before it's up on the KVMR site, the show.
Oh, okay.
It won't be up right away.
I think that Christine, who is one of my my friends here at the stream, she is taping this. She said she was going to tape it just in case it came out.
Oh, well, brave woman.
Yeah.
Has the greatest of faith in both of us.
She does. She's actually, you're delightful. Well, I'm having fun with you.
Oh, good. Well, then your intuition's probably clouded today.
Well, I was told that you were an opinionated guy.
Oh, I'm very opinionated. I've got an opinion about everything.
I said my kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's fine.
No, this is an honest point. I have an opinion about everything. Do you know anybody who doesn't have an opinion about
everything? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I've got an opinion about everything. But the only difference is mine are right and everybody else is.
I get it. I bow to your wisdom.
Yeah, everybody else is suspect.
I actually did a workshop on opinions, and it was hysterical because what we found was that, you know, 1 minute couldn't pass, right, without us forming an opinion. And the only problem with opinions is when we actually believe that they're true. You know, we have to have beliefs. This is part of the Living the Reality program, by the way. Platform 8 is becoming not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of difficult to have an opinion and not know at the same time, unless we really get it, that everything we believe is just a belief, and that if it's useful to us, we can keep it, but when it gets in the way, we should dump it. And so we have to have a very free-flowing attitude towards our opinions and realize how often they get in the way of our looking at what is.
Every time I see someone that's angry and yelling, whether it's in the grocery store or someone angry and yelling at me, my usual response to them is, well, that's an opinion. And it usually is an opinion. And, you know, when you hear the words coming out of someone's mouth that's angry, they are voicing very, very strong felt opinions because it brings up the emotion of anger. And how do you get a person in that state, and that includes, like, the whole Middle East, how do you get them out of a state of believing that an opinion is reality?
Well, you know, that's a very big question. It really taps into a variety of things. One is agendas. Very often people are angry. If I might just reframe what you're saying, I think it's related, but I would reframe it is that we have an agenda as to what we want someone else to do, and when they don't do it, we feel helpless, and so we get angry. And our opinion is that they should do that, but that's because we have an agenda. And one of the most difficult and challenging spiritual steps to me is, for me also, is to actually let go of the idea that I always know what's supposed to happen. And that is difficult. But, well, you know, you've brought up the Middle East a couple of times, and you're just, like, tweaking my, you know, my nerve here because I believe that it's a co-creation, and that one of the problems that we've had with people in the Middle East is that we haven't listened. And most people, unfortunately, in this country, do not learn much history in school. It just so happened that way back when I was in school, I studied history, world history, Middle Eastern history, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. Latin American history. And I discovered that our opinion, the U.S. opinion about who we were in the world and the way we had behaved, was pretty far off the fact. And when I studied these things, I was a little bit, I was very dismayed, and of course went around screaming at everybody, thinking that was somehow going to, you know, somehow going to change their mind.
Yeah, if you yell loud enough, your opinion becomes more correct.
Exactly, more dominant. But, and being very short, you know, well, I really had to do a lot of that. But, so what I find is that when people are consistently, disempowered for instance, people in other nations who've been disempowered by European or U.S. Military and political domination, those people get pretty mad. And they are always seeking ways to regenerate their own feeling of self-mastery and, if it's men, of manhood, and they'll come and bomb the shit out of you. You know, they're saying, like, all right, you won't listen to me? Well, now you're going to listen to me. My balls are as big as yours. And it's what happens. And I think that if we really are going to do anything, we have to start with compassion and understanding and realize that fundamentally people are all the same. What motivates us is the same. The cultural manifestation of that sameness may be different. And so that is, I think, the beginning, is for us to get out of our opinions that we already know why people are doing what they're doing and go into the inquiry, which is why I love being a counselor, because I am always in the inquiry and trying to understand people.
Well, let's say the inquiry, my opinion, is of the United States foreign policy. We're wrong, and we should stand up and say, I'm sorry, and apologize for what we've done.
Yeah.
Now, that's my opinion.
I agree with you.
How do you spread that opinion, other than talking on the radio? How do you spread that opinion into people's hearts that are running the country?
Oh.
And have them just pick up, pick up all the soldiers we've got in 120 military bases around the world and bring them home, apologize to the people, the countries you bomb people and kill them, and say, we'll do whatever we can to make it up to you and help you out now and stop hurting you. How could you put that into the president's head and heart?
I think that may be closer to the president that we currently have, to his head, than to any president that we've had in a long time.
I agree. He sounds like a guy that might be open to that, but
I think
but
he
his,
is. But
his actions aren't embodying that.
You are asking the $64,000 question, although people who are younger than we are won't know what the $64,000 question is, because there was a time, guys, out there that $64,000 is a lot of money. And there was a quiz show with that name, and you can see when I stopped watching television. It was a long time ago. But anyway, what this is very, very serious, what you're asking, and I would really like to seriously address it. We have to address the collective consciousness, and there is no shortcut to doing that. And we need to confront ourselves. Going back to the original thing that we were kind of bantering about, is there anything wrong? Yes, there is a lot wrong. And what's wrong is us. We are wrong. We are unhappy. We are distorted. We are programmed. And this actually is going to relate to the talk and the transformational opportunity that I'm offering on Saturday. You know, how did we get this messed up that we are so blind to the hurt that we create to one another? How did we get so messed up that we're so full of anxiety, rage, shame, unhappiness, depression, that we are eating, drinking, killing, spending ourselves trying to get out of these terrible feelings? And this is truly what, you know, my life's work has been about. When I was very young, when I was 9 years old, I became a social political activist. And I was watching McCarthy on television, Joe McCarthy, who was putting people in jail for wanting to make a better world. And I said, I've got to devote my life. And I saw the ghetto for the first time, and it just came to me in a flash that I had to spend the rest of my life trying to do something about the incredible suffering on the planet and the suffering that we actually are inflicting upon ourselves and one another. And through my life, I tried the social political activist routine, and I saw a lot of changes, but what I came against over and over was human consciousness. And I was not exempt from that. You know, I was, you know, very self-aware, looking at my own consciousness. When I had a spiritual awakening and then a psychic awakening, I felt like finally I had some way to help people to overcome some of that negative programming that makes us so destructive to ourselves and one another. And yet in the process of doing that, I also understood that we were one. And so one place that I went to that was a little bit unusual for spiritual teachers, especially at that time, was instead of looking at us as simply as individuals who had our own individual problems. And instead of pursuing my own personal enlightenment and salvation, I knew that what I needed to do was to work with the collective consciousness, because I am that. I am part of that collective consciousness. And God said to me, Beth, there is no personal salvation. He said, look at, I asked God once, I said, who am I? This was a long time ago when I still asked such foolish questions. And God said, go look at the stream. And he said, you are the drop of water that's different from all the rest. And I said, which drop would that be? And so I came to understand that we had to address these issues on a collective level. And I tried to the best of my ability, to create healing modalities for the collective. So while I do individual work, and that is extremely important, individual counseling and consulting, I work with businesses, I work with scientists, I work with whoever wants consciousness, you know, I'm there. But the way that I work with them and the rest of my work is really about training and helping collective change. In my workshops, for instance, in the Living with Reality workshop series, you know, you start with not just talking about oneness, but actually experiencing it, because I have the capacity to cut through people's bullshit, and which supports them to come out and be real. And the minute that you're real, everybody else says, oh, yes, I am that. You see, and suddenly oneness becomes palpable. And then on an energetic plane, people begin to experience that. Then from that, we can start developing a whole consciousness, which we keep coming back to, yes, we are one, and I am still responsible for myself, which is becoming differentiated and so on. But what I'm saying is that that all the healing modalities that have come through me are really for the transformation of the collective consciousness. So here I am, and I love to work with groups. So here I am, you know, I'm 65 years old. We can see that I haven't saved the world yet.
we're working on it.
In case you haven't noticed, you know, I just thought I would mention that. And I feel so drawn now to what we're calling hit the road. And if you could see me, you would understand why this is completely insane. I have been chronically ill for 50 years. I can barely get out of bed. That hasn't stopped me from doing all these things, by the way. You know, and I'm going to hit the road because I know that I need to get more connected to that collective consciousness and find whatever way that I can to have whatever impact I can have on that consciousness. It is not my job to save the world. It is only my job to do my job. And my job is to do what's in front of me and to be willing to extend myself, even sometimes when I think there's nothing left to give, to be open, to be guided by divine consciousness, to bring whatever gifts I have to whomever I can, and to support people to come together. The stream, the spiritual community that we have co-created, is based on the teachings of Living with Reality and the other programs and teachings that I have channeled, but it's the people practicing it that makes it real. You know, I could sit there forever and, you know, I could be Buddha and have no impact. You know what I mean?
What do you mean you could be Buddha? There's a phone call that's been very persistent.
Oh.
They're probably going to hang. Yeah, they hung up before I answered.
Hey, you can call again.
Yeah, you can try again if you want. But you mentioned spiritual awakening.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
My spiritual awakening at first was I was a Marxist. I was, you know, a socialist. I don't mean like I was a Russian communist.
No
I mean, I was like seriously about, you know, transformation.
No wonder you didn't like the Army McCarthy hearings.
Well, I think that was what did it. I didn't know what socialism was, but then I looked at them and I saw what they were doing. And I said, I must be those guys because I know this is wrong. But I understand that, you know, there's oppression on all sides, but I was an atheist, and I thought that we could change people by changing the conditions under which we lived, which is a fundamental belief of Marxism, that, you know, you change people's relationship to one another and they will change. And Marx is really a great humanitarian. He's not at all what people, you know, think he is. And then, you know, after having been a full-time social and political activist from, you know, from that time, the anti-war movement, the ban the bomb movement. I was expelled from college when I was 16 years old, you know, from being in the ban the bomb demonstration and the women's movement and so on. I was all burnt out and empty, and I knew something was wrong. And by the grace of God, who I didn't believe in at the time, although I was a mystic, I met an alcoholic and went to a 12-step program for families of alcoholics. And I walked in and I looked at what I considered to be these really stupid people, right? And I could see they were more serene than I was. And I said, oh, my God, Beth, shut up and listen. They know something you don't know. And I heard it as there was a power greater than myself. And I said, oh, my God, I don't have to change the world by myself.
Well, those people have a certain amount of spirituality. And one of their definitions of spirituality is they've been to hell and don't want to go back.
That's right. And so that was when my spiritual awakening happened. Now, my psychic awakening, I'll call it a psychic awakening, is when I was always trying to find some way to become healthy, and I was at a holistic chiropractor back in 1980, and he said I was the weakest human being he'd ever met, didn't know what else to do with me. So, you know, he tried all the, you know, the kinesiologies and the iridologies. So he sent me to a metaphysical counselor on sort of under the table, and she started talking about past lives, and I said, oh, God, you know, this is crazy. And she talked a little while, and I said, no, that isn't how it happened. This is how it happened. And all of a sudden, I discovered that I had this tremendous intuitive gift that I didn't even know I had, didn't know it existed, and was having conversations with the ascended masters who were telling me what to do. And I think what differentiated me from a lot of people is not that I heard it, is that I listened. And I devoted my life, everything. I was trained. I wouldn't put a morsel of food into my mouth unless I was specifically guided to do it, even if I was starving. And I went left when I was told to go left. I was in training to listen. And from that experience, I never went into trances or anything like that. From that experience of being at the edge between the human and the divine and listening, I became so attuned that I didn't even have to know that I was listening anymore. And it would just, that energy would come through me. And the day that I had this psychic awakening where I saw my past lives, I talked to somebody and she said, oh, can I come over? Can you tell me about mine? And I was off and running. I don't do much past life stuff. It's all metaphor. I mean, you know, I asked God once, is there really a past life? He said, you don't even know if this is a present life. So don't worry about it. If it works, use it. It's a metaphor. It's helpful. Use it. I have a very pragmatic spiritual guidance.
It sounds like you do. Sounds like you're able to convey it to people. I mean, just from your conversation with me, you're very capable of conveying it. Let me tell people that Beth Green, my guest here on the Earth Mystery Show, will be here in Nevada City at Barbara Miller's house Saturday, February 20th. It's free from 1 to 4 o'clock. She's going to be giving a whatever you want to call it, seminar, talk, interchange.
Right. Whatever. It's going to be a whatever. On ego, instinct, and evolution, I want to say, I don't know how much time we have left, but I want to tell you a little bit about that.
I was going to give the number real quick.
Oh, okay.
530-274-2190. 530-274-2190 to find out where and when.
Yes, please come. I would love to meet you. I'm looking for my relations for the people who really are aiming for the same thing, and so that we can come together to make that, to have the impact on the collective. To become the collective that will heal the collective. That's what I'm looking for. In terms of the talk itself, I want to say just a little bit about it.
We only have a couple minutes left.
Okay. I have an explanation of how the ego was formed that I will talk about. And if you don't come, it is in the introduction to the Living with Reality book, which is free on the website. And I talk about how the ego evolved, when it evolved, and the state of consciousness in which the ego evolved. And talk about how the ego is going to evolve. And this is the ultimate answer to the question that you asked about how are we going to reach people. Ultimately, people know they're in pain, and they don't know why. They want to believe it's something external. And, of course, there are many external things that do create pain, but that's other forms of us that are being mean or recalcitrant or whatever. But ultimately, once we get it, that we have to change, then we're still challenged because many people know they have to change and feel helpless. You know they need to stop eating ice cream and they're sitting there and the spoon is in their mouth, right? And so you know, my work is about trying to understand and unravel the mystery of what is so, why it's so difficult for us to change and to find modalities to help us do it. The ego and its structure has a lot to do with why it is difficult for us to change. And this particular program that I'm offering is going to be experiential in some sense. I have no idea really what I'm going to do until I get there. To help us to understand the ego, how it developed in us, how it's blocking us, and collectively how we can begin to transform into what I call the ego twice born, which allows us to finally connect ourselves to the oneness, really care about one another because we know we are one, and to become well and to reach our potential.
Sounds good. Sign me up.
All right. So anyway, I'm going to see you. Remember, I'm going to bring a book.
Okay. It's 530-274-2190. To see Beth Green next Saturday from 1 to 4.
Oh, yes. And by the way, Christopher Taylor has agreed to come and play for us. Oh. I've never heard his music, but I'm just so thrilled that he's coming.
Sounds wonderful. And your website is TheStream, all one word, thestream.org. And our show is winding up. Booktown's coming up in just a minute. So, Beth, so nice talking to you. And
it's wonderful talking to you. And I'm going to hold you accountable that you're going to show up on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't hold your breath because I don't want to be accountable.
We wouldn't want you to feel guilty.
I wouldn't want to feel that way. So
right.
I won't, no matter what.
Okay.
Look forward to meeting you.
I am too.
Okay.
Bye-bye, and
bye-bye.
Thank you. And I look forward to meeting your listeners.
Oh, they're wonderful. You'll love
them. I bet they are.
You'll love them.
I will.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Beth Green, Last call, 274-2190. Don't call the station and say, what was that number? I'll leave it here just in case, but 274-2190 to find out where and when. Barbara Miller's house, Saturday, February 20th, 1 to 4, to see Beth Green. Next week on the Earth Mystery Show, we have Mukti. Mukti is Adi Shanti's wife. She's also an awakened teacher and a very interesting person indeed. So we're having just way too much fun on the Earth Mystery Show. Before I go, I've got to thank Hummingbird Medicine for underwriting this hour, and same for Sierra Solar Systems. Hummingbird Medicine, where sound mind, sound body, providing sound health, healing, therapeutic massage, and counseling in downtown Nevada City. Hummingbird Sound Meditation Group meets Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Reservations and appointments are available at 530-265-2042 or hummingbirdmedicine.com. Thanks also to Sierra Solar Systems, serving the foothills and the environment for 29 years, offering PG&E and remote system design and installation. Their solar-powered showroom and warehouse is at the Alternative Building Center at 563 Idaho Maryland Road in Grass Valley, 530-273-6754 or sierrasolar.com. Until next week, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, there'll be world peace. We're going to go out with a little bit of one of my very favorite guys, Paul Thorne.